There we go. It's good to see you guys. Glad that you are here. I am grateful to be here. Appreciate the opportunity to come and preach. I know that I follow in big footsteps with Adam Venters, who's in the house. Thank you, Adam, for what you've done here. God is blessing that ministry, and everybody that I've talked to said that they really appreciate you and what you have done and how God has used you here and your preaching on Sunday morning as well. That kind of shocked me. No, it really didn't. Adam's one of our most sought-after guys when it comes to student ministry and also of filling in pulpits across our state. We are grateful for his leadership in Baptist Collegiate Ministry, not only here in Little Rock, but also around our state. So thank you, brother. Hey, let's pray together. And then I want to share a few things with you, okay? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, so grateful for an opportunity to be in your house with your people, worshiping you. Father, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would guide our hearts, our minds, to focus upon who you are and the word that you would have for us. We know, Lord, that when your word is opened, when it is proclaimed, that your Holy Spirit begins a work within each of our lives, drawing us closer and closer to you, transforming us, making us different, changing us. And we stand ready to hear what you would have to say to us this morning as a church, but also individually as followers of Jesus. Father, I pray that words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, would be pleasing to you, our great Savior, Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey guys, let me tell you just a couple of things about who I am. My name is Sam. I am one of your cooperative program missionaries of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention with our missions team there. I'm beginning my third year. Prior to that, I served as a local church pastor, four different churches over a span of 35 years. The last one was First Baptist Church Stuttgart, where I was there for about 17 years before God called me to a different type of ministry to come be part of the team here at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention and travel around our state, getting to know pastors and investing in them and equipping pastors, equipping churches to do the work that God has called us to do, to join him in what he is doing in this world of reconciling people to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. I am so grateful for the cooperative program. I'm a product of the cooperative program. Born and raised Southern Baptist, okay? Arkansas Baptist. I didn't know a lot about the Arkansas Baptist State Convention when I was growing up in a small rural church in northeast Arkansas. I did know that we had the Arkansas Baptist Children's Home. At that time, we called it the orphanage, okay? And here's how I knew that. We had this little church bank up front, and every Sunday morning, whoever had a birthday or an anniversary would come drop their coins in the little bank, the church bank, and that was going to the Arkansas Baptist Children's Home. That was the first thing I knew about the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, what was the children's home. What an incredible ministry that is supported through your giving to both the cooperative program and Dixie Jackson State Mission offering. Hey, today is cooperative program day in the Southern Baptist Convention. Got a slide that, in case some of you, I think probably each of you that are members of this church know about cooperative program, because cooperative program is big here. You guys are incredible givers to the cooperative program. One of the healthiest churches over the past several years in the life of this church in giving to the cooperative program. So thank you for those gifts. As you give on Sunday morning, here's what happens to your money. You give your offering, then a certain percentage of that, it's close to 10. I'm not sure exactly what it is right now for East End, but that is sent to the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. So you give to your church. Your church then gives a certain amount of that to the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. And there it's distributed this way. Right now, this year, 51.8% stays in state, and that provides for ministry that occurs within the state itself. 48.2% is sent for outside the state purposes. The majority of that finds its way to the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, where then it is divided according to the formula, the budget of the SBC, for the International Mission Board, the North American Mission Board, our six seminaries, and several other of the agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention. Because of your giving and churches like this giving, last year during COVID, okay, during a time when many churches had to kind of pivot, change, shut down, you know, go to the parking lot, do all kinds of crazy stuff. Here's what happened. Arkansas Baptist gave more than we had budgeted to give to the cooperative program. We had a $21 million budget cooperative program last year. Arkansas Baptist exceeded giving. Now, a few years ago, every 5 years, we do a budget analysis, and we changed the formula for budget giving in the state convention. We decided at that point, at any time in the future, when giving to the cooperative program exceeded that goal, then automatically one half of that would go to the International Mission Board. Because of giving of Arkansas Baptist, we were able to give $187,000 more to the International Mission Board to support our missionaries, over 3,000 serving among people groups around the world. In addition to that, gifts to Lottie Moon exceeded more than $900,000 of what it was the previous year, which means in 2020, a year of COVID, Arkansas Baptist gave over $1 million more to the International Mission Board than we did the previous year. Isn't that incredible? And you guys are part of that because of your giving to the cooperative program. You see, here's what I know. I know that God is on the move in Arkansas and in our nation and around this world, and he cannot be contained. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can stop our God from fulfilling his purpose of redeeming this world, reconciling people to himself through his son, Jesus Christ, not even COVID. It can't stop God. Thank you for that. Amen. Now, as I said, I served as a local church pastor for 35 years. And being a pastor is an incredibly exciting adventure, folks. But it can also be incredibly challenging and difficult. At no time in my tenure of serving as a local church pastor have I witnessed the level of conflict and unrest in our nation that we experienced over this past year. COVID and racial tensions and presidential election created this perfect storm for conflict. And here's what happened. That conflict that was brewing outside of the church made its way within the church. I can't tell you the number of conversations over this past year I've had with pastors in our state concerned about division within the church as a result of COVID. It all began with those questions about, hey, what are we going to do? How are we going to survive? How are we going to respond to this? And here's what would happen. That pastor leadership team would develop this path forward and say, hey, this is what we're going to do, whether it's a drive-in service or, you know, we're just going to go Facebook Live or those sort of things. They would decide what they're going to do. And then there was always a group that disagreed with that. Isn't that how Baptists are? Get two of us together, there's three opinions, right? Some would say we're going too fast. No, we're going too slow. But here's what happened. That challenge that went on within the church, that challenge of division, caused the mission of the church to get lost. For a year, a great number of churches were so focused on the gathering of the church that we forgot about the scattering of the church. We forgot about the mission that Jesus gives to us. You see, the greatest church challenge of church leadership today is not to focus on the what and the hows, although I don't want to minimize those because those are so important to who we are as a church. But our greatest need today is to refocus on the mission that God has given to us. That mission has to be the central focus of the church because it was the central focus of Jesus. And he's commissioned us as his followers to move with him, to go with him, to be on mission with him wherever we are. You remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Luke records the last words of Jesus before he ascended to heaven after the resurrection. And he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Last words of Jesus. You follow along in the story in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, that Holy Spirit that was promised in Acts 1:8 arrives, falls upon the disciples, and what happens? They begin to go out and proclaim the resurrection of Jesus. Then you've got Acts 3 through 6, and you've got this activity of the Holy Spirit in the church at Jerusalem, working with the leadership there. The gospel is going out in Jerusalem. It's expanding. People are coming to faith in Christ. And Luke even says some of the priests were coming to faith in Christ. I mean, this was a big thing, guys. You get to Acts chapter 7, and there's Stephen, this young leader in the church who becomes the first martyr in the church, dies for his faith. Acts chapter 8 begins with saying that there was a severe persecution that broke out in the church in Jerusalem. And all but the apostles scattered. Where? Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. They began to go out, and with them went the gospel. From that point forward, there's this pattern that reoccurs over and over in the book of Acts. Very simple pattern. Every story from Acts 8 on, you can look at in this way. Here it is. God calls, people respond, lives change. God calls, people respond, lives change. Over and over and over again. Here's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to look at each one of those by looking at a story in Acts chapter 9. So take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9. And there we're introduced to a man by the name of Ananias. And God calls Ananias by name. Ananias! And Ananias says, "Yes, Lord, I'm here." Then God begins to detail the content of his message to Ananias, the vision that he gives to Ananias. Begin with verse 11 there, chapter 9. "Get up and go to the street called Straight," the Lord said to him, "to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight." Now, when we talk about this calling of God, let me share a couple of truths with you, okay? The first one is this. God's call is always go. God's call is always go. Always involves action. God's call always involves his people joining him in his plan to reconcile the world to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. God's call is always focused on mission, on activity, on going. So God comes to Ananias with a specific call. "Ananias, go to Judas's house on Straight Street, and there I want you to place your hands in prayer on a man named Saul from Tarsus. Now, Saul has a reputation. You guys know that, right? We've read the story. They knew it as well. Ananias knew it. Saul was a persecutor of believers. He had the authority of the religious establishment in Jerusalem to shut down the churches, to gather up the Christians, to imprison them, to kill them if he needed to. And so with that calling to go, place your hands on Saul and pray for him, Ananias kind of reacts to that calling. And here's what he said. Look at verse 13, 14. Lord, I've heard from many people about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority here from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. Now, if I were to put that in Sam language, here's what I would say. God, perhaps you haven't read this guy's resume. He persecutes and arrests people like me. If he's the hunter, I'm the deer with the trophy rack, and he wants my head on his wall. Well, God listens to Ananias' reasoning. That's what we call it, don't we? Reasoning. Really, excuses. How often do we hear God's call to go, whether it's across the street or around the world, and we attempt to reason with God about why that just won't work? God, that's a dangerous place. Those folks aren't nice there, Lord. Those are difficult people. Those folks won't listen. God, those kids, they have absolutely no respect whatsoever. And you want me to go there? Are you sure? And then, Lord, in case you don't know, there's this thing called COVID that's going around as well. Now, keep reading verse 15. But the Lord said to him, say it with me, go. Say it, go. Go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to the Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Folks, God's call remained the same for Ananias, regardless of what Ananias said. God's call is always go. Here's the second truth. God's call is never optional. Always go, never optional. You remember what he said? You will receive power. You will be my witnesses. No optional clause in Acts 1:8 commission. God's call is always go. Go, make disciples of all nations, Jesus said. And my friends, there is no amount of excuses or reasoning on our part that omits any one of us from the God-given call to go. Mission is to always be the focus of the church, because mission was always the focus of Jesus. You look at John chapter 4, story that we find there, where Jesus looks at the disciples and says, we've got to travel through Samaria. And you've heard the story. No, they didn't. There were ways Jewish people got around Samaria. They didn't have to travel through Samaria, but no, Jesus had to travel through Samaria. Why? Because there was a woman at a well who needed to be free from the sin that was in her life. She needed to know of the Messiah. You go over to Mark chapter 4. They've just finished some incredible ministry, and Jesus looks at the disciples and says, hey, we've got to cross over to the other side of the sea. And then while they're there, there's a storm. Jesus is sovereign. He knows the storm is there. Now, why do they cross over? Well, yeah, they cross over so he could calm that storm. But also because on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, there was a man who was possessed by multiple demons that needed to be set free. And then in Luke chapter 9, I love how Luke says this, that after a period of successful ministry in Galilee, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face. This is the direction we're going, boys. We're not going to veer any way. We're going to Jerusalem. Why? Because he knew in Jerusalem there was a cross that waited him, that he would place his life upon, and he would die for each of us for our sin, for the sin of the world. Jesus' focus has always been the mission of his heavenly Father, to go. And that has to be the focus of the church. God doesn't look at any of us and say, you know that go thing? I really wasn't talking about you. I know that you're busy with work and the kids and family and all these other causes that you support. I know that you're strapped for money at this time, and this is not a good time for you. So I really wasn't talking about you. I was talking about somebody else. You're omitted from this call to go. God's call to the church is to go to the nations and to go across the street. He is calling churches to reach their community and to partner with other churches to reach this state with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you may be familiar with an event that Arkansas Baptists have done for the last 10, 11 years. Called One Day. Happens the first Saturday in October, where we choose a particular location, a certain association, and we encourage church members, churches, to join us. And usually 2,500 or so Arkansas Baptists show up. It's an incredible day of ministry. We weren't able to do that last year because of COVID. And so here's what we did. We came up with something that we called Serve Local, where we just encourage local churches to have a one day in their own community. Find a ministry, find a way to serve on that particular day. We had 16 churches that registered last year. 72 of those churches responded to a little evaluation we sent to them. Of those 72 churches, let me share what happened. Over 1,600 Arkansas Baptists served that day. In 260-plus ministries. They had almost 1,300 gospel conversations, and they saw 71 people trust Christ. It was an incredible day. We're doing that again on May 15th, in case this church would like to join the party. Now, let me tell you what happened yesterday. Second Baptist Church, Russellville, could not do the May 15th Serve Local because of high school graduation that they were involved in on that Saturday. So they decided to do theirs yesterday. They did a no-sell yard sale. Here's what that means. They just collect a lot of stuff that people have in their homes that they really want to get rid of. Furniture, clothing, toys, all kinds of stuff. You do a yard sale, but you give it all away free. Okay? No-sell yard sale. You invite the neighborhoods, the people in the community to come. The pastor posted that for the first time on Saturday. Almost 20,000 people viewed that. Adam, 250-something shared it. 7 o'clock yesterday morning, even though the event started at 9, they had a line of people waiting to get in. 350-plus people, they lost count, came and were served that day. But here's the good thing. Prior to every group going through, they shared the gospel. And at the end of the day, get ready, guys, 103 people trusted Jesus. People are hungry for the gospel. They want hope. And we've got it. And God says, go. Now, here's what happens next. People respond. You see, God's calling the church to go. And the question is, how are we going to respond? Now, I want you to keep in mind the context of this calling, okay? The calling in Acts 9 happens right after the Damascus Road experience for Saul. Saul has been rounding up believers, disbanding the church, throwing people in jail. He's on Damascus, on the road to Damascus, to do the exact same thing. When all of a sudden, he's struck by this blinding light that literally blinds him, knocks him to his knees. And he encounters the risen Jesus during that time. Now, I want you to imagine what Saul is feeling when he gets up from that encounter and he cannot see anything. He's blind. He's defenseless. He has to have those with him guide him where he's walking. This is a guy that had tremendous power before. And he's walking into enemy territory where someone could seek revenge on him, and it's a good time to do it. And then here's Ananias in Damascus, who's been called by God to put himself in the hands of a man who has been given church authority to kill him. It's like he's walking into a death sentence. But here's what I want you to see. Saul's purpose, the purpose of his life, was closely interconnected to the purpose of Ananias' life. Ananias' purpose closely connected to Saul's. Isn't that interesting? How God brings these two people together to accomplish his purpose. God uses people to accomplish his purpose. People who respond to his call on their life. And folks, God will use you to accomplish his purpose if you respond in obedience to his call. Let me share just a couple of things about this response. First one is this. Your God-given purpose is always closely connected to another person. God says, Saul's my chosen instrument. And Ananias, you're going to pray for him so he receives the Holy Spirit. He has to have the power of my Holy Spirit for the mission that I've called him to. And Ananias, you're going to play a major role in what I'm going to do through Saul for my kingdom. Now, what did it take for Ananias to realize that God-given purpose in his life? He responded to the calling of God. It took obedience, right? Ananias went to Judas' house on Straight Street, and he prayed for Saul. Now, pick it up in verse 17. Ananias went, entered the house, he placed his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, talk about transformation. Brother Saul, no longer my enemy. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me. He appeared to me too. He sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And at once, Scripture says, something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. He got up and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. My friends, your God-given purpose is always closely connected to another person, to someone else. It always involves someone who needs a touch from God. Second truth is this. Someone's miracle is on the other side of your obedience. Someone's miracle is waiting in the balance for you to obey God's call on your life to go. Now here's what I want you to see. Standing before you is a living miracle. Folks, I can't explain it any other way. It happened on April the 7th, 1972. Can't describe it any other way to say that it's just a miracle. Because at one moment, according to Scripture, I was dead in my sin and destined to spend eternity separated from God in a literal place called hell. And in the next moment, I was alive in Christ, adopted as a child of God, destined to spend eternity in heaven with my heavenly Father. Salvation is a miracle. It is a miracle that God and God alone accomplishes. And someone's miracle is on the other side of your obedience in responding to the call of God upon your life. And that person may live right here in East End. That person may be halfway around the world in some village in Russia or Africa or wherever it may be. Ananias acted in faith. Saul received his healing and the Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission God had for him. Saul acted in faith, and that vision of Ananias was realized. Your God-given purpose, always closely connected to another purpose, person. Your purpose, my purpose, our purpose is to exalt Jesus by sharing this gospel with any and everyone. And when we do, God receives all the glory as that other person is rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the wonderful life of the light of the Son of the kingdom of God. And folks, our purpose, not discovered in a vacuum. And really, it's not discovered in a church building. It's only realized when you step into the mission that God has called you to, when you go in obedience to the call of God, when you respond in obedience. Now, I know there's some fear in that. I served as a local church pastor for 35 years. I've heard all the stories about the fear. I had it myself early on in my following of Jesus. There's some fear in saying yes to God. There was fear in me saying, First Baptist Stuttgart, after 17 years, I'm leaving. There was some fear leaving that, going to the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, not knowing exactly what I was going to be doing. And sometimes I wonder if I still do, okay? But anyway, but most of us just don't feel ready, do we? We look at ourselves and all we see is how imperfect we are and how unprepared we are. But folks, listen. God does not require perfection. He just requires obedience. Going. And God can bless this imperfect vessel that is so not ready, that feels so not prepared, when I just step out in faith and follow Him. Common theme runs throughout the book of Acts. God calls, people respond, lives change. And if you make yourself available to Him, God will move on behalf of the people around you in this community, in our state, among the nations, and lives will be changed. So here's a question for you this morning. Hey, Ananias, who's your Saul? Ananias, who's your Saul? Who is God putting on your heart right now? By the Holy Spirit speaking truth into your life, bringing that image, that picture, that name of that person that needs encouragement, that needs help, that needs a prayer, that needs the gospel shared with him or her. Ananias, who is your Saul? When God's people respond in obedience to God's call to go, lives change, my friend. Look at verse 19 and 20. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. And immediately, he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. Just a few days before, he was shutting down those places of worship. He was declaring in the synagogue, this is a false religion. We've got to stop this movement of Jesus. And now he is proclaiming he is the Son of God. You read the remainder of Acts and you will see how significant that yes of Ananias was to the spread of the gospel, because thousands and thousands of lives were changed as Paul, along with Barnabas and Silas and others, traveled the known world, planting churches, proclaiming the gospel in response to the Acts 1:8 commission. And my friends, as the church responds to God's call to go into the community throughout the state and around the world, lives are changed. When I think about lives that have been changed here in Arkansas, because of Arkansas Baptists responding in obedience to the call of God. I think of a man by the name of Pedro. Let me tell you his story. Last year, October the 2nd, when we were going to do one day in Russellville, but we had to shift and go to serve local, Valley Baptist Church in Searcy decided that they were going to join. And what they were going to do is this. They were going to go to an apartment complex close to the church, and they were going to knock on every door to invite the people to church, but also to ask the question, how can we pray for you? They came to a house, knocked on the door. Pedro responded. They introduced themselves. We're with Valley Baptist Church. We would like to invite you to come, you and your family, if you do not attend a church, to join us. But we want to ask, how can we pray for you? And when they asked that question, Pedro began to cry, began to weep. Took a few minutes for him to compose himself, and he asked them to come inside. He wanted to tell them his story. He had come to the States as a college student to play soccer. Trusted Christ while he was in the States. Went back to home in Brazil. Got out of church. No discipleship. Got away from the Lord. Continued playing soccer. Married. Had a family. Continued playing soccer. Then they found themselves in Searcy, Arkansas, because his wife is a medical student. And she was doing her internship and applied several places. She was accepted in Searcy, Arkansas, at the hospital. And then he said this. This is why he was crying. He said, this morning, before you knocked on my door, I was praying to God to show me the direction I needed to take my family and which church I needed to begin attending. And then you knocked on the door. Two Sunday nights later, Pedro was baptized at Valley Baptist Church in Searcy. Sitting in the congregation was his wife, who had never attended church in her life. Still not a believer, but she's close. Keep praying for her. Now, the story continues because on Monday, Pedro knocks on the door of his pastor. And he says, Pastor, this is the story I received through one of our members of the staff who attends Valley. Said, Pastor, I hear you guys have these things in the church called ministries. Ever since I've moved back to the state, I've had people asking me to teach their children how to play soccer. And they want to pay me for doing that. But I don't receive any money. Because when I learned how to play soccer, I didn't have to pay for it. People just taught me. Would it be okay if I used your gym one day a week and invited children in the community to come and learn how to play soccer? And halfway through, I could share the scripture with them and talk to them about Jesus? That awesome? Is that incredible? Are you guys here? Are you breathing? Are you alive? That should shake you up, my friends, to hear that. God is on the move, and he cannot be stopped. That's incredible. When I think about people responding to the call of God in our state, a number comes to mind, and that number is 396. You may want to write that number down. Here's why it's important. That's the number of babies that were saved from abortion last year through the ministry of 24 crisis pregnancy centers that are funded in partial funding through your giving to Dixie Jackson State Mission Offering. It's got to get you excited. Come on, guys. Come on, don't leave me hanging here. And then also 152. That's the number of adults, men and women, who stepped into those centers, heard the gospel, and trusted Jesus. It's only possible because someone said yes to God, to that call to go. And you see, each of us are here today because of someone's yes to God. If you're a believer, If you have faith in Jesus, you have faith because someone said yes to God, to the calling on their life to go to you and proclaim the gospel. It may have been a Sunday school teacher. It may have been your parent. May have been a coach, a friend, a pastor. Someone said yes to God, and their purpose became connected with your destiny, and as a result, your life was changed forever. And if you're not a believer in this room listening on Facebook this morning, chances are you're listening, you're here, because someone said yes to God. God called someone to reach out to you, to invite you to listen this morning or join them this morning. And at that point, your destiny became intertwined with their purpose, and as a result, your life can change. Because God, through His Son Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for your sin, is calling you today to be in relationship with Him. Your life can be changed. Your eternal destiny can be altered forever this morning by simply responding in faith to the love of God that He's shown for you in His Son Jesus Christ dying for you on a cross. Your salvation is waiting on your obedience to God this morning. Now, folks, if you're struggling with that, then there are two gospel truths I've got to share with you. Number one is this. No one is beyond the need of a Savior. I've met some really, really good people in my life. I mean, really, really good people. But none of them is beyond the need of a Savior. Because the best of our goodness cannot save us. What does Scripture say? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone needs a Savior, and only Jesus can save. Second truth is this. There is no sin beyond the grace of God. So if you're relying on your goodness to get you to heaven, or if you're saying, like a lot of people I've talked to have said, Sam, there is absolutely no way that God could save me after what I've done in my life. I want you to know both of those are false. Because you can never be too good to not need to be saved. And you can never be too bad that God cannot save you. Reality for a lot of people is that you've never turned from sin and trusted in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. And if that's you, you're on that same path I was on April the 7th, 1972. A path that leads to be eternally separated from God in a place called hell. But the good news that I share this morning is that if you place your trust in Jesus, if you believe that Jesus is the only way for your sin to be forgiven and for you to be reconciled to God, if you call out to Him right now, confessing your need for Him, repenting of sin in your life, confessing your need for Jesus, repenting of that sin, acknowledging that need, He will save you. He will transform your life. I just encourage you, call out to Him now. Be reconciled to God. For God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son, that whoever, so that everyone that believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. But God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray together. In just a moment, after the prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to sing. And as we do, I want you to know this altar is open if you need to come and pray. I'll be down front. If you are one of those folks who says, you know, I've been relying on my goodness to save me and I know that's not sufficient, I need to rely on Jesus. Or if you're one of those folks who say, you don't know how bad I've been, there's no way God could save me. Let's get that straight this morning. If you're on Facebook, watching, listening, and you need to be saved, just reach out right now. Call on Jesus and He'll save you. And then just comment there and let us know. And someone from this church will contact you and speak with you.